Hey everyone. As you know, today we're starting a brand new sermon series called Overcomers. We're going to be dealing head on with a few of the most challenging struggles and addictions that people face, food and substances and lust. And one of the weeks may be deeply personal for you. I know for me, food is the biggest struggle. But at the very least, we all know someone dealing with one of these issues, and this series is going to equip us to move beyond living our lives in spiritual bondage. And today, we're happy to welcome a very special guest to Grace, all the way from Magnolia, Texas. Such a pretty sounding name, isn't it? He gets Magnolia, we get Erie. Anyway, Mark Cornelison and his wife, Kathy, are joining us at Grace today. And I met Mark recently in the Dominican Republic. He's the Director of Church Engagement for Vision Trust International. He's been working with us in our newest church partnership in the DR. And before Vision Trust, Mark was actually a pastor for 18 years. And he found himself at 43 years old, 300 pounds, suffering from high blood pressure, high cholesterol, acid reflux. He knew it was time for a change. He became a contestant on season 13 of The Biggest Loser. He made it all the way to the final five. And Mark returned from that experience over 100 pounds lighter with a new life. And since the show, he's traveled around the U.S. Encouraging other people. In fact, in 2012, he co-founded Sweat Corps, and he now works to communicate hope and encouragement with students and adults alike in regards to ministry and health. In fact, Mark wrote a book called Undressed. I'd encourage you to pick up a copy. You can find it at Amazon or anywhere else that books are sold. And he and his wife, Kathy, have been married for 27 years. They have three kids, aged 24, 21, and 17. And so would you please give Mark a warm Grace welcome as he shares the Word of God with us today.
It is a privilege for me to be able to be here and to share with you guys at Grace Church. My name is Mark Cornelison, and some of you may know me because I'm connected with Grace in our Dominican Republic trip. And this past January, we actually got to take a trip together, and a number of you guys were able to come with me on that. And so I do work for a mission organization, which allows me to take teams and churches just like Grace to go be a part of some really great work that we do all around the world. But I'm here kind of for a different reason this morning. My wife and I came, and we're excited to be able to be in this place and be in Pennsylvania. We live in Houston, Texas, so to be in Pennsylvania at the end of April is kind of a blessing to us because Houston's already starting to warm up. So thank you guys for planning this well for us. We really appreciate that. But I got to tell you, I was super, super thrilled when I got asked to come do this, especially to launch this new series that you guys are going to be doing called Overcomers. And knowing that I get to speak into that is really a privilege for me. And I love getting to go and share. And God's given me some really great opportunities to go and connect and do some really wonderful things. But this one is really near and dear to my heart to be able to come and launch this series with you guys. And before we get into kind of why I'm here today, I want to make sure that we understand something from the very beginning of this series. You've got to realize as we talk over the next 3 weeks, there's going to be different messages on being an overcomer. You've got to grab from the beginning, plain and simple, short and sweet, the battle is not yours. If you are going to be an overcomer, it's not going to be out of your own work. It's going to be out of what God's going to do through you. We have to recognize right here at the beginning that the ultimate overcomer is Christ, and so we want him to do the work of getting through some of these struggles that we're going to talk about over these next few weeks. Can I go ahead and just start you with this? There's no such thing as willpower. There's no such thing as willpower. What we need to count on is his power, and he's the one that is going to be able to help you through. There's this really great story in Exodus chapter 14, and some of you may be familiar with it, and it's where the Israelites have left Egypt, and they're right at the shore of the Red Sea, and they're kind of stuck. And on the backside, they see this pillar of smoke and pillar of fire, and on the other side of it is the Egyptian army. So they've got an army on one side of them, they got the sea on the other side, and they're panicking. They have no idea how they're going to make it out of this situation. And in Exodus 14:14, Moses says this fantastic phrase. He says this, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." And I love that verse because I think as we talk about being an overcomer, we need that right here from the very beginning. Guys, the thing that we're going to talk about this morning as we look at overcoming addictions over these next few weeks is you've got to realize that the thing that you may be called to do, that God may be asking you to do, is simply to be still. He will fight for you. Now, I get the privilege this morning of launching in with a series, a sermon on gluttony. I was a contestant on season 13 of the TV show The Biggest Loser, and that has allowed me over the last 5 years to have the opportunity to go and really challenge the church. It's something that my wife and I do pretty often, and we challenge the church into what it means to really be healthy. And look at how that impacts your relationship with Christ and how that impacts especially your service to Christ. So when Derek contacted me and said, hey, we want you to come and share, it was awesome and exciting, but it also didn't surprise me that I got asked to do this, because really and truly across the board, when we've talked to churches all across this country, nobody really likes to talk about this. You really don't hear sermons on gluttony, even though it's in the Bible and you know that there's passages that speak to it and God makes it clear that it's not his best for us. We don't really talk about that. And so I think there's a few reasons why you don't really see sermons that are focused on this topic of gluttony. And here's a couple of thoughts. One is this: the hypocrisy of it is pretty obvious. And I know for me, before I lost weight and got healthier, I didn't want to give sermons about how you needed to get healthy. I didn't want to give messages about how it was supposed to impact your life to not be a glutton, especially in regards to food and food addiction and things like that, because I'm standing up there and it was pretty obvious that I hadn't exactly conquered the struggle. And I think that's what a lot of people don't want to do. They don't want to step into this realm because it's visible. Right? There's other addictions. There's other struggles that we're going to be talking about. And over these next few weeks, as you go through the Overcomer series, you're going to hear some different things. And some of those things, in a very negative way, they can be hidden. So people can have addictions to drugs and to other things that are out there, and you may never even know it. But when it comes to gluttony, it's visible. It's out there. I can tell you over the last 5 years, it's been 5 years ago since the show ended and my season was over, I can't even tell you how many times, still to this day after 5 years, I go out to eat somewhere, especially in my hometown, and people kind of know who I am and know my family and what we've experienced. People still watch. And so when you start speaking on something like this on health, and you have a major life change that has to do with your health, people are watching. And so we just don't want to talk about it, because then we might be called on it. So the second thing is this: the subject's a little elusive. See, when we think of gluttony, we automatically talk about food. And while I think a lot of the scripture that we see talking about gluttony is referring exactly that, it's food, and it's about food addiction and letting food be something that fills a gap that God wants to fill in our lives, I think that there's other parts of our life that gluttony can take over just as much. I would say that there are people who are gluttons for work. There may be some of you guys in here that you go, you know what, I eat healthy and I eat what I'm supposed to, but I'm at work 90 hours a week. And that's interfering with your family life. That's interfering with relationships. That's even interfering with your ability to serve well in the church that God's called you to. That's a form of gluttony. You're giving too much of this a part of your life. I think in our day and age, we've got this thing happening where you can be a glutton of technology. Ever been in that place where everybody, there's a whole bunch of people in a room and nobody's talking to each other because they're all just looking at their cell phones? We allow that to engage us and keep us out of connections with those that are around us. That's a form of gluttony. Now, some of you in this room, you're going, I don't struggle with any of this. I'm not seeing anything that he's saying so far. Okay, well, how about this? Anybody in here a glutton to Netflix? Right? Back in the day, back a long time ago when I was a kid, when you watch TV, if you got to an episode on television and you got really excited about what had just happened, you had to wait a week before you could find out what happened. Now people will just sit down and you can watch an entire season of television shows. And that we hear people talking about binge watching shows. In an essence, that's a form of gluttony, because it's taking away from your life. It's investing your mind and your focus in something else. So while we're going to talk about food this morning, but gluttony doesn't necessarily always refer to that. So the subject kind of can be bounced around. It's not that clear. Another thing is this: the conviction is pretty weak on this, because unlike most other addictions that are out there, nobody in this room can go without food. You got to have food. So if you have a struggle with an addiction to food and going, I need to get healthy, it's not like you can go cold turkey on this. You have to learn balance. You've got to figure out how does that fit in. And so many of you guys, you can identify with me. My wife and I, we have been on the roller coaster of diets and healthy living, right? And after a while, you just get to where you're tired of trying. So maybe you hear a good message about gluttony and you feel really convicted and you go, I need to start working on how healthy I am as a person. But then after a while, man, it just gets so hard. And there's just, you just say, I'm just done. I'm just weak. I don't have the ability to keep doing this anymore. Last thing that I'd suggest is this. The answers and the solutions can be a little bit fuzzy. Because we live in this society, we live in this world now that you can take this pill and you never have to exercise or worry about what you eat again, right? Hey, we got DVDs for 30 days to the tighter this and 60 days to the quicker this. And there's all these things, people out there trying to sell you their shakes and their powders and all of these mixes. And so if you want to get healthy, if you want to stop being a glutton and stop letting food control your life, we have too many things out there trying to say, this is the solution to that. And it's another way that people, we all just kind of get a little worn out. And then we start doing this thing where we somehow justify it, right? Kathy and I have gotten to travel a lot over the last few years, and we've seen so many times, we've sat down with people that are just so hurt, and they've just struggled and battled for so long, but they just decide, this is just me. This is the way life is supposed to be. And what we try to tell them is this thing that we learned a number of years ago, and there's a great teacher, there's a Christian counselor, his name is Dr. Larry Crabb, and Larry Crabb says this. He says that sin is meeting a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. Sin is meeting a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. And let me tell you what this means for us as we talk about gluttony and trying to get ourselves healthier for this life that God's called us to. The desire to live a certain way and the needs that God has placed in us are exactly that. They're there because God put them in our lives. And his ultimate goal when he created each one of you with vision and purpose and direction was that he would be the one that would meet those needs. But what we tend to do is we like to see, okay, here's the needs that God has placed in my life naturally. And so I'm going to find other ways to meet those needs. And when we do that, when we don't rely on God to meet those needs, then we lose our focus with him, and that's sin. And what we try to convince people to do is to recognize, hey, listen, this thing, this battle that you want to fight, it's not yours. It's not yours to fight. God wants to be in control. He gave you that need so that he could meet it. So what we need to do is get refocused and focus on letting him be the one that meets that. And so even though we can hear that and we know, okay, if I'm trying to meet a need that God wants to meet himself and I try to do that myself, it's sin. We can hear that, but it's still hard. And we've had this happen over and over with Kathy and I, is that we have so many people that just have so many objections to even focusing on this. It's just health just does not seem to be the priority. And especially when it comes to gluttony, trying to limit something like this. Some of the objections that we have heard over and over, and this may resonate with some of you that are sitting here this morning, is this. It's always been a struggle in my life, so why fight it? Ever since I was younger, I've always struggled with my weight or giving too much attention and focus to food, so why should I keep trying? That's so common. And for me, I started gaining weight when I was in junior high and then in high school and especially in college. It's where I gained the bulk of my weight. And then I got married and we became parents and it just over and over. And there was a point where I was going, I just don't even want to keep trying this. Lord, I know that what I'm doing is not right. I could sense it. I could feel it. I knew that I was not letting him meet this need, that I was using something else. But I just didn't want to fight it anymore. It was just too much of a struggle. Some of you may say this, you may say, I just don't have support. I don't have anyone that could support or help me in this battle, in this struggle that I have to get healthy and to remove the gluttonous lifestyle out of myself. I don't have anybody that could be there, and I got to have somebody that's alongside. Maybe you're a wife and your husband's saying, I really don't care about getting healthy, so I don't want to eat the stuff that you want to eat, and so you got to fix me something. Or maybe you're a husband and your wife's like, listen, we're fixing for little kids too. I can't fix you something and then have to worry about that as well. Maybe you're single and you're going, it's so easy and convenient just to stop and get the stuff that I want when I want to get it without having to think through it. And so what we end up doing is we just say, hey, since I don't really have the support, it's not worth trying. And then there's a third one that we hear a lot, and especially nowadays, and this isn't to hit on anybody in particular in this room, but let me just tell you, this one I struggle with quite a bit. And it's this idea. I've decided that I've got to love and accept myself for exactly where God has me. I've decided to love me for me. And that's a great thing. You want to love the person that God created, right? You want to identify yourself with Christ. But when it comes at a cost of justifying sin, then it's not okay. And so what you've got to do is you've got to figure out what's your thing, what's your objection that's keeping you from saying, I want to deal with this. I want to overcome this struggle that I have in my life. And let me tell you what it was for me. I had to find my own personal thing. And what's so great about this is it got to this place where it was not about, could I wear the clothes I wore in high school? I didn't have a high school reunion coming up and I wanted to look good for everybody. I didn't have a wedding that I was going to do and I wanted to impress everybody. I didn't have those things. No, instead, it happened because of a mission trip that God allowed me to take back in 2011. And I've actually got a picture, it's going to be on the screen for you, of that trip, of me at that trip in 2011. And this is me walking down the street in the Dominican with a good friend of mine named Chicho. And at that time, you can see in that picture, I was just over 300 pounds. This was the summer before we were cast on the TV show. We knew that The Biggest Loser was interested in us, but we hadn't actually been given the opportunity to participate. And so I was just living life like normal because I didn't know what was going to happen, what wasn't. So as a youth pastor, I was in charge of planning and preparing this trip. And so I put everything together, went on this trip, and the last 2 days of this trip, I sat underneath a tree in a chair because I didn't have the ability physically or mentally to do what God had called me to do. And I still remember that time specifically, and I remember that all my objections went out the window. All my justification was gone at that point, and I went, Lord, I got to get this under control because it's no longer about how I think I look. It's now limiting the work that I'm able to do and the servant I'm able to be for you. And out of that, we left that time, and I remember talking to my oldest son and said, listen, no matter what, if this TV show thing doesn't work out, we're going to make some changes. Because I cannot be in a place in my life where if God brings something my way that I would ever again have to say, no, I can't do it. And so what I want to do is I started diving in from that. I started looking more intently into the Word. What does the Bible say about food and God being a provider and gluttony and struggle? I wanted to understand, okay, what is going on in my mind that's causing this? And over the course of the show, one thing that was crazy is I got into the Word more in depth during my time on the television show than probably any time in my life. And I just was reading it for me, not because I had to go preach somewhere or share it with a bunch of youth, but because it was just feeding my soul. And one of the things that I found was this awesome passage in Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. So if you have a Bible, if you could go there, Matthew 6, verse 25 is where we're going to start. And in case, just to give you some background real quick, in case you don't know, this is the Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the longest sermon, longest message that we have recorded from Jesus. And he's speaking to all these people. And really what he's doing is he's challenging most of the religious teaching that has been given to the people at this time. I like to look at these three chapters and I say it this way. I believe this is the launch of grace. Because he's going, hey, you know all those legalistic things, all the things that the Pharisees, that the teachers want you to do, all those things that they're saying are important. Let me just tell you something about grace. And here's some different ways that you need to be able to do this. He emphasized leaning into a relationship with him as opposed to trying to work and impress God. And so this is such a great place. And right in the middle of this, we see this passage that speaks so clearly to our need for food and life and that provides and what he thinks about that. So verse 25 says this, "For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air that they do not sow, nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what are we going to eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Right in the middle of this message that Jesus is saying, all these different topics, he's addressing the religious leaders, he puts this little statement in here about food and clothing, which tells me something very important, that this was significant to him. He wanted us to grab, he says, look, you're so worried about what you're going to eat all the time. Stop being worried about that, right? Look at the birds. Do you ever see birds sitting around wondering, what are they going to have for dinner? No, they just live life. And he says, God provides for them and they are able to feed. They have the food that they need for every single day. And don't you think that you are much more valuable than any of them? He says, as we focus on clothing and being able to buy stuff and get what we do, he says, don't you know that God, the Father, knows that you need these things? He said, but take, for example, the lilies that are in the field. They're here today and tomorrow they're pulled up and they're burned in a fire. And yet God clothes you much more than he would ever clothe them. And he even says, you have little faith if you think that God wouldn't provide those things for you. But then he gives us this thing that I think is so important, and it's a replacement policy. So in order for us to overcome, we have to be still and let God do what he's going to do, but we've got to also put our minds on the right things. And he says, but do this instead. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all the rest of that stuff's going to get taken care of. See, when we put our attention and our focus on him instead of the things that we're trying to use to meet our own needs, God says, I'll provide all that stuff that you would normally choose to worry about if you'll just put me first and foremost and let me be the overcomer in your life. So focusing on him, putting our attention on him, and letting him provide all the rest. Man, that's really good stuff, right? That's good biblical stuff. But when you walk out of these doors today, what do you do with that? Have you ever done that? Maybe it's not the same here at Grace Church. I don't know, but you come in, you hear a really great message. You're like, man, that's powerful. That really has impact for my life. But then you walk out the doors and you're going, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. Well, what I want to do is I want to give you five steps that I feel like scripturally we learn about how we can overcome gluttony and how we can deal with this struggle that so many of us face, especially in America. So the first thing is this. First thing you got to do if you're going to overcome gluttony is this. Acknowledge the problem. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it as sin. Identify the behavior and be willing to say, you know what? This is a battle. This is a struggle for me. Love yourself. Love the person that God created you to be. Absolutely. But stop justifying and acting like those behaviors are somehow acceptable when Scripture speaks directly against it. Allow God to be that person that he wants to be the one that meets those needs. Allow him to do that. But the only way we do that is by first and foremost being willing to acknowledge it and say, I see that this is a problem. Second thing is this. Identify your unhealthy thoughts. Identify the unhealthy thoughts. And what I mean by that is look for things that you think are true. For example, if I'm really, really sad, I think that if I eat a half a gallon of ice cream, I'll feel better, right? So sadness is a trigger. What you got to do is you got to look for the unhealthy thoughts that you have that send you into this desire for food. And you've got to look for those triggers. What are those things in your life that make you go, this is a point that I'm going to eat? This is one of those times that I should be leaning into who God wants me to be. I should be letting him meet this need. But personally right now, I just want food and I'm going to meet it myself. You've got to stop and look at those things and be aware of them. That way when they start coming, you're aware, you see it. right? And so if you know, hey, this is a trigger for me that sends me into this spiral of gluttony, then when you see that trigger coming, maybe you can prepare for it a little differently. So first thing, you're going to acknowledge it. Second thing, you're going to identify unhealthy thoughts that go with it. And then this is such a great one. I love this. Own what God says about you. Replace those thoughts with truth. And this is what you need to do with that. You need to specifically go to Scripture, and you need to find Scripture that talks about who you are in Christ, that talks about how He is going to be the one that will meet your needs. Look at things like Matthew chapter 6 and take those passages where He says, hey, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear, but seek first My kingdom and My righteousness, and I'll take care of all of that. And you're going to take those things, you're going to write that everywhere. You're going to get a dry erase marker and you're going to put it on your bathroom mirror. You're going to put post-it notes all over your house. You're going to have people that are around you thinking you are weird because you're going to post-it notes in your car and on your desk and everywhere. But you're going to be so focused on going, the only way to overcome this struggle that I have is to replace it with something that's true. And the only place that we get truth is God's word. And so you've got to find, see, and that's what Jesus is saying. That's what He's telling us in Matthew chapter 6, is this replacement idea. See, what happens is we worry too much when we think too much about something. So He's saying, here's what you do. Your brain only has the ability to focus on one thing really solid at a time. So here's what I want you to focus on. Me. Focus on Me and My righteousness and my kingdom. And if you do that, you're not going to have time to think about the rest. This is the same thing. So you acknowledge the behavior. You recognize unhealthy thoughts that you have and triggers that cause it to happen. And then you find truth that speaks against that. And you begin to let that be the thing that you focus your mind on. Fourth thing is this, and this is definitely the hardest part. You act on it. You see that trigger coming, you realize you're in that moment. And in that time, you think back to those passages or you pull those passages up. And in that moment, you don't do what you normally would have done, but instead you stop and you be still and you let God fight the fight. That's a struggle. That's a hard thing because most of us in here, I was 43 years old when I was finally cast. And once we started the show, I had 43 years of training my brain on how to deal with the circumstances of life that did not involve me going to God first. And now suddenly I was going, I've got to do this differently. And I'm going to point to Him before I do anything else. That takes time. That takes effort. And so the idea of acting on the things that you've learned as you look at His word and as you see what He says, that's how you overcome the struggle. But the last one is this. And honestly, I think this is my favorite of all of them because nobody communicates this at all. I told you with the Sermon on the Mount, it's the launch of grace. It's Him letting people know that God desires a relationship with you, and it's not about anything that you do. It's about what He's going to do, and that He lives in the journey with each and every one of us. And that's what you have to do for yourself. You have to give yourself grace. You've got to look at your life and recognize you're not going to be perfect and make all the right decisions. When it comes to getting healthy, when it comes to eating what you should eat and not eating more and leaning on God and letting Him meet those needs, guys, you're not going to get it perfect. You're not going to walk away this morning and suddenly everything's going to be fine. You're fixed. You're going to make mistakes, but what you're going to do is the next time you make a mistake and you dive in and you eat too much and or whatever that thing may be for you and you move into this, you're going to stop and you're going to go, that wasn't a good decision, but my next decision is going to be a better one, and you're going to give yourself grace. Can I tell you, starting now, there's no more Monday morning diets. You don't start on Monday when you mess up sometime during the week. Anybody ever notice that? You always seem to start over diets on Monday. I think that's why people hate Mondays so bad, is because everybody's starting their diet over when we get to Mondays. And what you have to do is you go, no, I don't have to wait for Monday. I'm going to give myself grace now so that my next decision will honor God and will point my eyes and my heart to Him like it's supposed to. And so this process, if you'll do this, then God will begin to work in you. And so you can acknowledge the struggle, identify those unclear, unhealthy thoughts that don't match what He says about you. Go to Scripture and own what God says about who you are in Him. And then as those things start coming in your life where you're used to seeing this, then you act on it. You act on this new truth that you've learned. And then lastly, when you don't make the best choices, you give yourself grace. That's how you become an overcomer. That's how God takes this sin and the struggle of gluttony and meeting this need that we have for him with something as trivial as food. That's how he takes that away from us and helps us see who we can be in him. So, a couple of things. First is this. Realize that the gluttonous behavior that's in your life is not what God intends for you. It is not what he desires you to be. But on the other side of it, let me tell you something. There is life and purpose and excitement on the other side of the struggle. Be looking forward to that. Let me tell you, the picture that you guys saw earlier of me in the Dominican Republic, can I tell you what? If God came to me at that point and said, listen, I want you to travel around and speak, but also to go to different countries and work with children so that they know the gospel, so that they hear the gospel, and so that we can make impact in communities where poverty is rampant. I want you to go do that. Can I just be honest with all of you and tell you, that guy would have said no. Because I wasn't about to go sit on a plane for a long time. I didn't feel good. I didn't have the energy. But as God has made this change in my life and he's helped me see gluttony for what it really is in my life, now I'm on the other side of it. And when God says, hey, this is what I want you to do, my first response, and Kathy's as well, was yes, we'll go. So look forward to that. Every one of you in here, you were created with a purpose and specifically made for something that he desires. Seek that thing. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Let him take care of all the rest of it. And then you know what? Stop every now and then and just be still and let him fight that fight, because that's how you're going to become the overcomer. Let me pray for us. Lord God, thank you so much for what you want to do in the lives of every person that's in this room. God, thank you for the changes that you want to make in them, but not because of the things that they're going to do or the power that they have, but only solely by your power alone. Father, we surrender this struggle that we have to you, this desire for food over you, and we ask that you remove the gluttonous desires, behaviors that we have away from us, and be all about walking us through this journey to draw us closer into who you are and the life that you desire for each of us to serve you well. God, this is yours. It's not ours. Meet our needs. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.